We're looking in His Word this morning in 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter. If you got your Bible, turn there. 2 Samuel, chapter 5. We're going to begin reading in verse 17. I pray His Word's going to bless you today. You know, we draw strength from the Word of God. We draw power from His Word, grace from His Word. And so the Word of God is what God uses. He uses it to heal us. He uses it to help us. And so we're edified. We're built up by the power of the preaching of God's Word. It's why we think it's so important. And for 20 plus years, we've been doing that right here by radio. And so I'm encouraging you to look with us. 2 Samuel 5:17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." And so we're going to go forward and look a little bit down to the 6th chapter now, for 2 Samuel chapter 6. Watch this in verse 1. Again, David gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose, went with all the people that were with him from Baal to Judah to bring up thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. Look in verse 4. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. Verse 5 said, And David and all the house of the Lord, all the house of Israel, played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and psalteries and timbrels, and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Watch now, verse 7, very important. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Verse 9 said, And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and said, How shall the ark of God come to me? Watch this, verse 9. How shall the ark of God come to me? So David would not remove the ark of God unto him in the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, take the reading of your word today and speak it to hearts. God, anoint our understanding, our finite minds, if you would move upon them, if you'd illuminate them by your word. God, we draw strength, we draw power, we draw grace, God, from the wells, Lord, that overflow of salvation. Father, we praise you. I love the place over in Isaiah 35 where he speaks of this, that we'll draw water of the wells of salvation, Isaiah 12:3. We see it right there in your word. God, let us draw water out of the wells of your word today. Speak to every heart, Lord. Illuminate our minds. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. Watch this place. As David, we read in the 5th chapter, and we read the 5th chapter a little bit for a reason, because we have to understand. David is inquiring of God. He's inquiring of God, and he did that. He was very often to do that. That's a very wise thing to do. We need to ask God and inquire of him, follow his leadership and obey him. And so when he asked God about the Philistines, shall I go up? God said, go. And later on again, you're going to see in verse 23 where he asked God again and he inquired of the Lord. And God said, go. I'm going to tell you how to go, David. And you're going to go as I say go. And when you go as I say go, you're going to be successful. And so David here in the 6th chapter, this is why we read 5 and 6, because in the 6th chapter, is he wants to bring the ark of God up to Jerusalem. He's been anointed king, and he's been received well. God made him king. God made him king in the place of his father-in-law Saul. And Saul wouldn't ask God. Saul liked to go down to the witch's house and ask her. God didn't want him asking her. He wanted him asking him. See, there's something we need to see right here. God wants us asking him. You know, God is like the father that wants his children to be dependent upon him. You say, well, I want to be independent, do things for myself. That's not what the Lord wants. He wants us to ask him. He wants us to need him. You say, well, preacher, I would come back to God, but I don't want to bother the Lord. He wants us to come to him. It's what he wants. And so while Saul, David's father-in-law, who is wicked of heart and has found himself at the Witch of Endor's place, and so he's got her looking into all her soothsaying abilities. Witchcraft is real. Matter of fact, if you got doubts about that, you'd ought to go look at this place and see it. 1 Samuel 28, how that she called up Samuel from the dead. And so witchcraft and sorcery, all those things are real. And they're not of God. They're evil. But here, as he's resorting to the witch, we don't want to do that. We want to come to the Lord. And it's what David did. He inquired of God and God heard him. And so here in the 6th chapter, he should have inquired in God again, but he failed to. And when he failed to inquire of God, then he's bringing the Ark of God, which is, you have to see this. This is God's trophy case. And I'm going to show you what I mean by that. If you go back to the book of Exodus, you're going to see where God, in all of the things concerning worship, he gave Moses the pattern for an ark. And that ark was a chest, if you will. And that chest was overlaid with gold. And so in it were some of the precious things. Matter of fact, you're going to find it. God's trophies were there. And those trophies were the commandments of stone that he gave Moses. And so those two tablets of stone that God wrote on with his own finger, he wrote on them there. He told Moses, you put them in the ark. And so Moses did. And then Aaron's rod, remember Aaron's rod, when God was going to show the people that he chose Aaron. I like this, brother. When God chooses us, he'll show us. And not only will he show us, but he'll show the people. And so as God chose Aaron, they told him, you know, they were some that were saying, well, we ain't sure that Aaron, we think he's taking too much on himself. Of course, they thought that about Moses. And God told Aaron, said, y'all all get you a rod and let's go out there. And the man's rod that buds, if his limb, he's talking about the limb, if the limb has buds on it, that's the one I chose. And so it was Aaron's almond rod that budded. Well, they put that in the ark, God said to. And then, of course, the manna pots. Remember how God rained manna down from heaven? God gave them manna. And as they had the manna there, the Lord told them, take manna pots and put the manna pots in the ark, or maybe just one ark. I have to go back and read. But they put the pot in the ark. God said, keep that for a testimony to your children and your children's children. And so these are the things that are in the ark. And as they go forward, they're to carry that ark. And you know how they're going to carry it? They're not going to carry it a new way. That was David's problem. God wants them to carry it upon the shoulders of the Levites. That's the job that God gave the Levites. In particular, the sons of Kohath. Their job was to carry the ark. And so when God wants the ark to go to Jerusalem, he don't have a problem with that. That's God's city. That's the city God chose. And so as they take it there, the problem's not that they take it there. The problem is the way they take it there. And what it tells us is God is concerned about the details. He is concerned about the details. And so he commanded them to do it with the Levites. And David, this time, did not inquire of the Lord. And he put it upon a new cart. And so he thought that was a good thing. But the problem was, it didn't make God happy. And so those Levites were to be bearing it upon their shoulders. And so here, if you can imagine this, they're taking poles that are overlaid with gold. And they're putting it through the rings of the ark that's on the four corners. And those two poles are going through this chest. That's God's ark. And they're carrying it upon their shoulders. And they're bearing it wherever it goes. That's God's plan. Well, David's got the new cart. And watch what happened. Everything's going good. He's got the band out there. And so imagine this as a parade, if you will. I'm telling you, it's bigger than Macy's Thanksgiving Parade. It's bigger than the Rose Bowl Parade. They've got the band going. All the people are there. It's a celebration. It's a feast. Everything's happening. Harps, psalteries, timbrels, that's all the instruments that you find there. And when the ox stumbled, verse number 6, this is where things went to going wrong. Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it. Now, Uzzah meant well. People say, well, preacher, I mean well. And Uzzah meant well. But when Uzzah touched the ark of God, that was not his place. I'm telling you, holy things are holy. You know, Jesus dealt like this. He said, cast not your pearls before swine. And he said, and give not holy things to dogs. And so God separates. Jesus separated holy things, precious things. The gospel is a precious thing. The word of God's precious. God's ways precious. And Uzzah, when he just wanting to help, you said, preacher, my heart was good. Well, maybe Uzzah's heart was good. But when Uzzah stepped out of bounds, and I mean he touched the ark of God there to steady it, because the ark shook, the word said he took hold of it, then God's anger was kindled. That's all God could take. And he smote Uzzah for his error, and David was displeased. It killed the whole mood. And so you can imagine this big parade. The ark of God's coming up. We're going to receive David as king. All these things are happening. I mean, it is like inauguration time in Jerusalem. You got to get this picture. And then all of a sudden, boom, the party's over. The celebration's gone. Everything's been dampened by the fact that Uzzah's dead. David's displeased. David's afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? And so he takes the ark and he leaves it at the house of Obed-Edom. Now I want to tell you, the ark of God is representative of the presence of God. And there was nothing better that could have happened unto Obed-Edom. Because when they brought the ark of God to Obed-Edom's place, you know, I don't know whether they'd ask for volunteers. The word didn't say. How did Obed-Edom get it? You know, it's like salvation. Why did I receive it? You ought to be able to say that today. Preacher, why did God save me? I don't know. I'm asking the same question. Why did God save me? But I know one thing, like Obed-Edom, when the presence of God came to my place, I'm talking about my heart. Now, literally, Obed-Edom had the ark of God in his house. And when God moves in the house, things began to change. Business begins to pick up. Good times are ahead. And the word said that God blessed the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. God blessed it and all his household. I'm going to tell you, when the presence of God is there, people sometimes think, well, preacher, you know, I'm going to get saved right there, you know, on the tail end of this thing. I'm going to have my party, my good time. I'm going to live it up. I'm going to live like the booger man. And then I'm going to say the magic words right on my way out. And God's going to save me. And everything's going to be good. And I'm going to dance right on off into heaven. You don't know that. You don't know that because you don't know when God's going to call. You don't know if God's going to call. God doesn't owe you one call, much less two. God doesn't have to speak to you one time. And so whenever the call of God comes, then we are to respond to his call. And so this is what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah dealt with the call of God. And so, and we find it here that when the Lord extends his hand, today's the day of salvation, Paul preached. And so it's not tomorrow. Then you receive it when it's offered to you. Obed-Edom was not going to get another opportunity to host God's ark, God's presence. Now watch this. Had he not received it, they would have taken it to somebody else's house. And so it's much like rejecting the blessing of God. When you reject salvation, you, sir, you, ma'am, are rejecting God's blessing. The creator of this universe wants to bless you. And he wants to bless you in saving you and changing your life for the good. God don't want to hurt you. God's not trying to get your bank account. He don't need your bank account. God owns this whole outfit. He said, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Mr. Farmer, God doesn't want your equipment. He gave you your equipment. God doesn't want your cows. He said, for the beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Those cows that you got, I like cows. Those cows that you got, God gave them to you. And so if you have any of this world's good, you know how you got it? God gave it to you. And he don't want what you have. He's the one gave it to you. He wants you. He wants you. That's what he wants. And you know what God wanted? Maybe Obed-Edom was there. And he said, Obed-Edom loves me. Maybe God said, Obed-Edom loves me. And I'm going to leave my ark at his house. And so why did they pick him? I feel like that every day. Why did God pick me? And so unworthy and undeserving, hell deserving, that's what we are. And the old song says we ought to thank him. We ought to praise him. And so here Obed-Edom. Maybe Obed-Edom wrote that song for all I know. And Obed-Edom, the blessing of God has come by. How about you? I bet there's some of you this morning that says, preacher, I remember when God saved me. I do too. I was 19 years old, rugged and rough around the edges, had no Bible knowledge, no understanding, nothing about the Word of God. You said, well, you was trained to be a preacher from grade school. I didn't know what a good preacher was. I didn't know anything about preaching or anything about salvation. And so my life was a rough life. My childhood, I spent more time at Arnold Davis's beer joint than I did at church. Cut my teeth on a poker table. Mixing whiskey at the age of 6. First job was in a bar. I wasn't raised in Sunday school. The grace of God saved me. And the call of God came to me at 19 years old. And God gloriously saved me. You know what he done? He blessed me just like he blessed Obed-Edom. Let's watch this in the verse 11. The ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom. God blessed him, and watch now, he blessed all his household. You said, well, I'm praying for my young'uns, praying for my grandbabies. That's good. But you know, when we line up to the Word of God, when we get in the place God wants us, and we have his presence in our life, then God blesses not only us, but he blesses our household. He blesses what we have. He blesses those things we give to him. And we find it here that it was told King David. Now somebody come back to David and they said, David, I'm going to tell you something. It is going mighty good down at Obed-Edom's place. And Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth to him is blessed. And so 3 months later, somebody's give David a report. It was told King David. I'm going to tell you, if God's doing something good in your life, you ought to tell it. You know what this broadcast is about? It's not about bragging on anybody or any organization or any institution outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. If God does something good, we need to tell him. If God's working on your behalf, go to work and tell it. You know where I heard the gospel call? You know who God used? He used a young man that had just been saved a little while. I think he was 21, and we were going to college together. And he told me about the grace of God. He told me how God brought him out of drugs and alcohol. He told me how God delivered him from so many vain things. And as he told me, the grace of God was there, was present. And the Spirit of God bore witness to that. And that's what happened. They came and told King David. They said, David, it has been something else down at Obed-Edom's house. I believe Obed-Edom's young'uns was getting saved. You know why? The presence of God was there. I believe his wife was blessed. I believe those that was looking for a job needed one. They were praying about it and God helped them. I just believe God cares about everything we do. You said, preacher, that's vain. God doesn't care. Yes, he cares. God's the provider. God makes provision. God's the one that heals. God's the one that helps. If anything good happens, God did it. And so we give him all the glory. And they said, that Obed-Edom, boy, it is going good. And David said, we got to go back and bring the ark of God again. And so David went, and the word said, so then when they, verse 13, that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces. Watch now. Now he's went and got the boys of Kohath. That's right. Kohath was the son of Levi. And the Levite's job was for ministry. See, you need to know what your ministry is. I would imagine that those Kohathites took it personal when they put the ark of God on a new cart. God's not interested in new cart religion. God's not interested in a new way. God's not interested in a new gospel. We're not interested in a new Savior. There is no new Savior. There is no way out of here alive except by the old rugged cross, the old time gospel. Jeremiah said, seek ye the old paths wherein is the good way, 6:16, Jeremiah 6:16, and walk therein. And so David went back. He said, God, I have committed a foul. I didn't inquire of you, and I got to get the Ark of God up here, and everything's going good with Obed-Edom, and I want everything to go good in Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you something about this. We need to say, you know how we are blessed more than they were? The presence of God is not shut up in a box. And now neither was God then, so don't misunderstand. The presence of God was not isolated to the ark, but the ark was a type. It was a picture of the presence of God. And so when we, as believers, God saves millions of people. God has millions, billions of believers. God does. He has people. He's always going to have a people. He's never going to run out of a people. But the question is, will you be one of his or one of the devil's? Now, I'm going to give you straight talk out of John 8:44. Jesus looked at people and he said, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, because he's a liar and the father of it. Now, that's John 8:44. Jesus looked at people, eyeball to eyeball, and shared that truth with them. Now, what you have to understand, you said, preacher, I'm my own man, I'm my own woman. No, you're not. You either belong to God or you don't. You have a father, and until God is your father, then ye are of your father the devil. Now, here's what I mean by that. You either belong to God or you don't. You either saved or you lost. There is no middle ground. There is no in between. There's no other place to be. You're God's or you're not. And God wants to save you and bless you. And the devil wants to damn you and doom you and destroy you. It's what he wants. That's the business he's in. God wants to multiply you and add to you. The devil wants to subtract from you and divide you. And so that's the business he's in. And so we see this. Those sons of Kohath, they're carrying the ark now. They got it upon their shoulder. And when they went six paces, a pace is 5 feet. So they went 30 feet. And you know what they done? They sacrificed. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. That was God's will. And David and all the house of Israel brought the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now, what's that mean? They have got the music back out. It ain't no diddy bop either. No, they got good godly music God's going to be proud of. Listen, this is a celebration of the Lord. And so it's bigger than anything this world's ever seen. And as they're coming, they're sacrificing because God is well pleased with sacrifice. Back then, God asked for animal sacrifice. Not today. God doesn't want animal sacrifice today. God sacrificed his son. He was the purest lamb without spot, without blemish. And God took his son, the Lamb of God, and put him upon a cross that you and I could be saved. And so as God put his son there, there's no need for animal sacrifice today, but it was necessary then. And so David danced before the Lord, and all the house of Israel come with shouting. And Michal, watch now, as they came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window. I'm wondering, why ain't she out there at the feast? Watch this, she's looking through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. Now the tabernacle was a big tent. There's been no house of God built. Remember, Solomon done that later. Solomon built the temple. But right now God dwells in curtains. God dwells in a big tent. That's exactly what the tabernacle was. You know, if you could get your head wrapped around this, it's just a big tent with the glory of God upon it. And so as they set it in its place, they brought it in the tabernacle. And David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And as soon as David had made an end of the burnt offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And you know what happened this day? Nobody died. Watch verse 19. He dealt among all the people, and even the whole multitude as well, to the women as men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Now think about how many Jews were there, how many people that God had there. And David, it's a feast, brother. There's a lot of animals lost their life because they're feeding the people. And they give them, in our liking of the day, it'd be like giving them a Gatorade or, if you're country folk, a Grape Co. or a Knee-High. Give them a piece of flesh. Give them a T-bone or a sirloin. And he sent them away. He didn't send them away empty. He fed them and he sent them away. You know how God wants to do? He wants to bless you and he wants you to go in God's favor. That's what David wanted. He wanted the people to go in the favor of God. So he gave them a piece of meat. Good piece of meat, not a bad piece. I like that. You ought to underline that. A good piece of flesh. I like to think he just cut them off of one of them old T-bones and gave them one and sent them away. But David returned to bless his household. Here's where trouble comes now. And Michal, his wife, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David. Remember what the word said about her? That she's moaning and groaning. She's mumbling and grumbling out the window. And the word said this, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids." Now what she's talking about is the ladies. You've uncovered yourself. You're dancing before God, but I don't believe it's before God. I think you're doing it for the lady folk. Watch now. And you've done this, David, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself, exclamation. There's only 313 exclamations in the Word of God. And God chose to put one right here because Michal is fiercely coming up against David and she's accusing him of wrongdoing and he's dancing before the Lord and there he is. God knows his heart. And David's like, "What are you talking about?" And she says, "Oh yeah, shamelessly you're out there uncovering yourself before the girls." And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord which chose me before thy father." David said, "You know what, Michal? Maybe you got a burr under your saddle because God chose me over your daddy Saul." You know, there'll always be people that despise those that love God. That's always going to be the case. And sometimes those will be people that are near to you and dear to you that'll despise you, despise the love for God, despise the way you're received, despise the fact here David is, God's blessing. God's putting his hand upon it. They've had a great day. And why isn't Michal out there in the celebration? Why isn't Michal in line out there to have part of the feast, the parade, the glory of God's there, the presence is there? Why is she not there? You have to ask that question. And David said, "It was before the Lord who chose to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord. Therefore will I play before the Lord." He said, "Thank God I was dancing before God, not before the girls. It was before the Lord. And watch now, I will yet be more vile than thus. I will be base in mine own sight." David said, "I'll humble myself. And of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor." Verse 23, you got to see this. See, there's a problem. There's a problem when we attack God's people. And we attack that God's ordained, that God's put his hand on. You know, people today, they think nothing of it. They think nothing of it to speak against those that love God. Michal did it. You said, preacher, I'm worried about what people think. You can't worry about what people think. You have to do what God called you to do. You have to go with God. If Moses worried about what people thought, he wouldn't have done anything. David wouldn't have done what he done. Paul, if he was worried about what people thought, he would have listened to the Pharisees. He would have never heard the call of God when God struck him down on the road to Damascus. He would have never preached God's glorious gospel. Peter wouldn't. On and on. And so what has to happen? The grace of God has to be preached. The word of God has to go forth. No matter who likes it or who don't, God's got to be honored. God's got to be first. And so David, watch now. This is what he said, or what the word said. "Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death." She had no child God made her barren. God shut up her womb. She never had the pleasure of bringing forth seed because she's murmuring against God's chosen king, her husband, moaning and groaning, griping and complaining, and God shut up her womb. See, it's a very important thing that we understand. We're not to speak against God's people. We're to love God's people. We're to love God's way. We're to love God's worship. And so we have to set our own tendencies aside to make sure God's put first. And so David, what did he do? He looked at the error of his way. He didn't go back and blame somebody because Uzzah died. He sought carefully the ways of God. He wasn't complaining about Obed-Edom because the blessings was on his house. No, he didn't despise that. He loved that. He loved the fact that Obed-Edom was blessed for those 3 months when God was there. But he still wanted the ark to come to Jerusalem. And so what is it? We have to have God's blessing. We have to love him and we have to love people. And we're going to see it today. These things happen when we inquire of the Lord, when we follow the Lord. And David, you said, preacher, I've missed it. Everybody misses it along life's way. It's not important that you miss it. It's important that you correct it, that you get it right, that you amend. It's important that you go back to the drawing board. It's important that you revisit, that you go to God in prayer, go back. David went back to doing what he was doing, and that was inquiring of the Lord. And so we look and we say, well, if I don't have it all figured out, all my T's crossed, all my I's dotted, God won't receive me. It's just not so. God wants to use you. God chooses to use you. He wants to put his hand on your life. He wants to bless you. And he will bless you if you'll allow him, if you'll inquire of him, if you'll seek his face, and God's hand will be upon your heart. And that's exactly what we want. And so as we go to God in prayer today, I pray the Lord's going to bless you and bless you mightily. Let's ask him to do something special on your behalf today. Father, would you come by, take your word, speak it and breathe it, God, to every heart. And if there's one out there today, Lord, that's discouraged, I pray you'd encourage them. I pray you'd strengthen them, fortify them. I pray, God, you'd touch them with the power of your might. I pray you'd lead them and give them strength, God, to get up and go again. God, to get up and revisit, relook, go back to your word and see what thus saith the Lord. God, give us not a heart of anger, but God, give us a heart of rejoicing. Give us a heart of praise. Give us a heart, Lord, not of jealousy. God, give us a heart of gratitude, a heart of thankfulness that says God's right, God's good, and we want God's way. And Father, we'll trust you. We'll trust you to speak and empower us today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Until we meet again, may the blessings of God be richly upon you.